Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
There's a big difference between the Word of God, you holding on to the Word of God, and the Word of God holding on to you.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor Herron continues his series from the book of James today, and we return to chapter 1. We'll take a look at the third mark of a difference maker, responsiveness to the Word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 1. And I want to just quickly look at this next section of Scripture in James 1 on marks of a difference maker. And basically, the response to trials and the response to temptations, James now says, let's look at the response to truth and revealed it by these marks. Talks about perseverance in suffering, endurance in temptation. And briefly, I want to look at the responsiveness to the Word, because this is what James' emphasis is in the last part of James, verse 19 to 27. And what I'd like to do, let me read this and just give you very simply what I think to be the emphasis, what James says. Notice, wherefore, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. And notice the phrase, deceiving your own selves. Don't kid yourselves, is what he's saying. Don't miscalculate what God's wanting to do and can do and should do. He went on to say in verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was. And whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Why in the world did James go into this passage when he says in verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brother? He very simply is saying, listen, because of God's goodness, because of all that God's doing for us, he never changes. He's always good. He's always going to give you what you need for the time of temptation, because he will end up giving you wisdom. He'll pour it out on you as much as you need when you're going through trials. And on that basis, you then can understand when he says in verse 19, be swift to hear. Why he's saying all this is very simply because the whole context of this section is you need to end up being responsive to the Word of God. I think the underlying of all of this is what James is saying is don't deceive yourself. Don't just take it in and you have no practice to it. Then it is going to put you in a worse condition than the first condition. And this was the general challenge to the very early Christians. And that's scary to realize that here we are 2,000 years later. When's the last time you opened up your Bible, you read that Bible, and God spoke to you? When's the last time you heard God's voice speak to your spirit by the Holy Spirit? And James is going straight after the heart of a group of people in Jerusalem who had great trials and difficulties, and they were scattered all over that part of the world, and they were having great problems. It wasn't just that they were persecuted, but they were Jews. And even the Jews themselves were against the Jewish Christians. And it was so vital that they had to hear something from God. On that backdrop, very simply, he says to be responsive to the Word, you've got to have attitudes that are going to be necessary for you to respond to the Word of God. What are they? They are so simple, but it's so clear. Notice very simply, number one, you find they were receiving the Word of God. Notice verse 19 to 21, when he makes the statement, let every man, and notice he says these adjectives, or really specifically, the injunctions. He says, first of all, you be swift to hear. You be, number two, slow to speak. And you be, number three, slow to wrath. Why did he say that? Very simply, he said it, and these aren't bad ideas for conversation. These aren't bad ideas for communication. But very specifically, what he's saying is, listen, believers are to respond positively to Scripture. You be swift to hear. You be the first one. I want to hear God's Word. But he says, you be cautious about becoming speaker of God's Word, a preacher or a teacher. And in the early church, particularly in the smaller settings of homes, there was a lot of dialogue and a lot of discussion. People were getting heated about their idea of what the Old Testament said and what was being stated. And there was a lot of dialogue, and that's why he made the statement, not only be swift to hear and slow to speak, but slow to wrath. And he goes into then verse 21 when he makes the statement, wherefore you lay apart. You've got to love the King James. This verse is one of those great classics. All lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. Very simply, he's making the statement, listen, you be in a place to humbly implant God's Word by laying apart all of that filth, all the moral, shabby abundance of evil, and you take in God's Word. It is that simple. You receive it. And the Word of God ends up changing you. It is what's going to change you. Do you believe that? Then if you really believe that, what James is saying is, then you end up receiving the Word. And evidently, James was trying to say to a group of people, listen, do you really believe this? Then are you taking that time to do that? And are you going to receive God's Word? Then secondly, he moves to verse 22, be doers of the Word, therefore. So he says, you receive it and then practice it. And this is so obvious, and yet he still states it when he says in verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And why he said it was very simply because in the previous paragraph, James compares the Word to seed, and here he compares it to a mirror. And the idea, it's so clear, notice what he says, if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding himself naturally at your face in a glass. And the idea here is a mirror. In that Old Testament times, they were made of a metallic, either bronze or silver, some for the wealthy people, gold, and it was hammered out and was laid out so smoothly that it was beaten flat and polished to this high gloss so the image reflected and was adequate, but it wasn't perfect. But he's saying, listen, just like you hold that up and it reveals to who you are, this is what God's Word does for you. And when he makes the statement here in verse 24, for he beholds himself and he goes his way. The very idea of beholding himself is the idea of a quick glance. He looks at it and it's like a typical guy. It looks good to me. He's out the door. But notice what he says in verse 24. He beholds himself, he goes his way, straightway forgets what manner of man he was in verse 25. But whoso looks, and the idea of looketh here is the idea of a steady staring into this mirror. This would be the contrast of a guy and a girl. Teenager, guy looks at it, looks good to me. A girl, she's going to steadfastly look at herself till everything is ready to go for the day. And the contrast he's saying is, listen, you be like that person that I'm going to take a long time looking so I know exactly who I really am. And that's what he's talking about, not just receiving God's Word, practicing God's Word. This seems so obvious. Why, God, did you end up putting this here? The very front end of a very critical letter, the first letter that was written out of all the New Testament, this was it. Because evidently, it has been a problem for all of the generations of Christ who he came to give my life for you. And the only way you know what that's going to look like is right here. And that's why he says, you receive it, You practice it. And thirdly, notice if you would, when he says, well, let's finish 25, who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that freedom that he gives, the genuine freedom from sin that the Word of God gives, the liberty that he gives. But he says, a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deed. You know how God says, I'm going to bless you? You look through the perfect Word that's clear, it'll unfold for you what he wants you to be. And the image is going to be Christ, and you're going to be conformed to his image. The only way you're going to be Christ-like is for you to spend time in God's Word. Period. And there's a big difference between the Word of God, you holding on to the Word of God, and the Word of God holding on to you. And it's not about this knowledge. It's about you living this knowledge out. No one would say, hey, I'm living everything. I'm doing everything what I'm supposed to be doing. But the motivation is, listen, you do have to take time receiving the Word. You do have to take time practicing the Word. And lastly said, you also need to share the Word. And this is where you end up finding the Bible talking about in verse 26, what is religion therefore? It refers to the ceremonial public worship, but he's really emphasizing not the external trappings, but the sincere, genuine religion. What is that? And he makes the statement, it's showing up in these three necessary means. He talks about speech. Notice verse 26, for if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You know, he says the first primary observation of genuine religion is a controlled, bridled tongue. Or the idea of reining in a wild horse, he's saying, I'm going to have you rein in your words and your speech. You want to know of a religious person, you look for their speech. Because most of the time, religion is the outward, and James is saying, listen, and he comes later and expands this, but he touches on it right off the bat. Listen, it was an issue in the early church that people were talking. And that, James says, listen, is the first obvious sign. If you want somebody that's genuine and religious in the right sense, that's a person that's going to be able to control their speech. And evidently, it was a big issue in the early church. I say this because for James, who really was the one living with Jesus, was so close to the truth, but he missed it. Until after the crucifixion and the cross is when he got it. And this is contrary to what James is saying now. Listen, your speech is going to be able to be a controlled tongue, means a controlled body, which means a controlled life. Number two, he says it's not only speech, but a necessary means is for service. He says it in verse 26, if a man seem to be and bridleth not his tongue, deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. This is the service you offer to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. You know what he's talking about? Take care of those people that the world is totally neglecting. God says, listen, you take care of those people. And I promise you, if you take care of the fatherless and the widows, I will bless you. That is a sign of genuine religion. So he deals with the speech, and he deals with who are you looking to serve. It's the people that can't give anything back to you.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.